We're talking about ATV safety and trail conditions on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Wisconsin is home to more than 1,800 miles of ATV trails. And according to the state cartographer's office, in the winter season, there are over 4,200 miles of trail options. So where do you ride? Do you live near an ATV trail? Do you mind four-wheelers coming through? It's 800-642-1234. Nick Webster is a Wisconsin DNR Recreation Ward, and he covers the South Central region, encompassing 11 counties. Nick, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So what has the season brought forth for trails and for ATV use? What are you seeing out there?
Well, generally speaking, the trails down in this part of the state are in pretty darn good shape, but they are seeing a lot of traffic. It's really jumped up this year and last.
So when you say a lot of traffic, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, if you go to some of our trailheads, the common spots that people offload their machines and start from, most of those are full to capacity or well over, and people are kind of scrambling trying to find additional parking spots for their trucks and trailers to be able to offload.
So what does that mean for you, for trail maintenance, for upkeep?
It takes a little bit more time to keep those trails up. Our local clubs are helping out with that, and they're doing a really good job of keeping, you know, those trails that are maintained with gravel and graders. They're doing a really good job of keeping those up. But it does take some additional work.
Well, let's look at some nuts and bolts here. What can be registered as an ATV?
So the ATV and UTVs, they got a very specific definition. And unfortunately, that has changed a few times in the past. But what it comes down to is, you know, you're going to have a weight restriction. You're going to have an equipment restriction. So in the case of an ATV, you're looking at a machine that's 900 pounds or less, 50 inches wide or less, and it's got to be equipped with a seat that you straddle, kind of like a motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
and handlebars, not a steering wheel. So that stayed pretty consistent over the years. Three or more tires is part of that definition. So when somebody does go to purchase a machine with the intent of using it on ATV trails or UTV trails, I'd really suggest taking a look at our ATV or off-highway vehicle regulations and seeing specifically what's in that definition, because, like I say, unfortunately, that has changed a few times over the years, and you just don't want to get stuck, you know, with the machine that you might not be able to register and use the way you'd intend.
And ATVs are usually one person on that ATV, is that right?
Correct. Yeah, majority of the ATVs are built for one person. And if it's built for one person, that's all you can have on it. If you know, you're talking, if you want to have two people on an ATV, there are two up options that you can get right from the manufacturer. You know, they got a longer frame. They're designed to handle the more weight for two people. So if you do want to have two people on a machine, you got to make sure you have one that's built for it.
Well, contrast that to UTVs then.
So UTVs generally, you know, they're equipped for anywhere between two and six passengers. And you do have to remember with the UTV as well that you can only have passengers in those areas that are designed for passengers. So it's not legal to ride in the bed of a UTV or anywhere else. You have to be in a spot that's designed for an occupant with a seatbelt.
We're talking with Nick Webster of the DNR as we talk ATV trails and use. He's recreation warden. You can join in. Are you someone who enjoys riding an ATV on Wisconsin trails? Where do you like to ride? Have you taken an ATV safety course to get licensed? What did you learn? 800-642-1234. Nick, you know, when you look at these machines, do you see new safety equipment on them, like roll bars, or have their designs changed much at all?
The designs have really jumped over the years. I mean, if you look at where UTVs were, when we first started registering them back around 2012. The technology has really jumped. Suspension's been a lot better, a lot smoother ride. The technology is kind of followed the way of the electronic technology has come a long ways with those machines. Now, I mean, you're going down a road that's trail, I should say, an off-road trail, especially up north where it's not a nice groomed gravel, basically gravel road. Mm-hmm. You get on some of these off-road areas and they can really absorb those bumps well and really give you a nice soft ride.
You mentioned, go ahead, roll bars.
Yeah, so I was going to go down that road. Yeah, so you mentioned roll bars. UTVs, as part of their definition, have to have roll bars that are capable of protecting the occupants in a rollover crash. So there are a few machines out there that look like a UTV, but they don't have those roll bars. So you got to make sure that they have those to be able to meet that definition. And that bar will cover, all the occupants.
Yeah, what does that bar do? How does that look?
Generally, if you picture maybe a Jeep that's made for off-road or designed for off-road, they'll have aftermarket roll bars, a full cage basically around the occupants. And that's what it's there for, is just to help protect the occupants in a rollover. Mm-hmm. Now, along with that, to make that roll bar actually do its job and do it right, the occupants really need to be sure to have their seatbelts on. And it is a law in Wisconsin that, all the passengers in a UTV have to be wearing their seatbelts at all times. And I would say, the biggest part of my job is responding to fatal accidents, serious mm-hmm. accidents. And I can say without a doubt, the use of that seatbelt is probably one of the major factors in keeping people safe once those accidents do happen.
Mm. What about helmets and ATVs?
So helmets are required for anybody operating an ATV or UTV under the age of 18. Now, that's another thing very similar to the seatbelts. The instances that I've seen, if they can wear a helmet at all times, that's going to greatly increase their safety when it comes to, the unfortunate incident of a crash.
Yeah. Let's bring in Eric now in Green Bay. Hi, Eric. What would you like to ask the recreation warden?
I was wondering if and when the DNR is going to come out with an all-inclusive trail map for all the state trails and label it so that we know that where the roads are that you're driving on the roads instead of the trails. Because unfortunately, I get out there, but I haven't been out in a couple of years, so I really don't know. But it used to be so piecemealed. And you'd have to get, the Dusty Trail system and then the Langlade system and then the Dunbar system. And they're all, you had to try to match up and get from one trail system to the next trail system. And sometimes it wasn't even feasible. And then I remember I would get on one trail and it was pretty much, I was riding on a snowmobile trail and you weren't even supposed to be on snowmobile trails. So
Eric,
I was wondering if.
Yeah, Eric, thank you. Nick, what about the trail system map and Eric's question?
He hits on a really good point, and he's 100% correct. It can be a challenge at times. A lot of these trails are run by different municipalities, so they do change from time to time, and on a statewide basis, it's really hard to stay up with that. Some counties, limit those changes to once a year or twice a year, but, other municipalities might be changing them every month. And it can be really difficult to try to stay on top of a consistent, accurate statewide map. There's been some different entities that have reached out and tried to do regional maps, and those do exist, and some of those are pretty good. But the challenge does come with those consistent changes that happen, on the smaller scale, even down to the local township when they're implementing or reducing routes on the roads. So
where do you find those maps? Is there one repository for maps?
There's not one specific spot.
Okay.
The best thing I could say is, you know, reach out to your local counties, reach out to your local trails, clubs, and groups like that to see what they have. It is a challenge.
We have DNR Recreation Warden Nick Webster with us on ATVU. He's in the South Central region. How do you feel about ATV riders on state forest land? Do off-road vehicles pose a threat to your favorite outdoor activity, or do four-wheelers make the forest even more fun and accessible? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with the DNR's Nick Webster here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing ATV safety and Wisconsin trails on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In recent days, the Wall Street Journal reported on major supply chain disruptions at Polaris, that big manufacturer of ATVs based over in Minnesota. They had an unexpected surge in sales in the pandemic, and now customers are placing deposits on orders sent to factories. Are you trying to buy a new ATV? Can you get one? What trails are your favorite to ride? Join in 800-642-1234. Nick Webster is a recreation warden at the DNR. He's with us for about 9 more minutes. David is joining us from Prairie du Chien. Hi, David.
Good morning. I have a question. I live on a county road that is posted as a UTV, legal to drive on. But I get to the end of it and I run into State Highway 60. And then I have to go about a half a mile to get back on the trail. And I just wondered, is it legal to traverse that half a mile on the state highway to get to the next trail? Otherwise, you're just dead-ended.
David, thanks.
That's a good question. It's one that pops up around the state every year. So if that route that you're on, a designated route, you know, say the county highway you talked about, if that goes directly across the state highway, you're fine to do that. The scenario you're talking about where you got to go down the state highway for a stretch, the only way that you would be able to go down that state highway as part of that route system is if it was actually designated as a route. Now, traditionally statewide, the only places you're going to see those designated as a route is if that's in a municipality or an area where the speed limit on that state highway is less than 35 miles an hour. There are a few other places around the state that do have that designated as a route, but they're kind of few and far between.
David, does that help?
It does, but it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't make it effective for use of the UTV, especially we have a farm, and sometimes you're just, you know, trying to get to the next location, and it's like, well, you can't really use the vehicle for its intended purpose in that situation. So, thank you.
Well, you do. He does bring up a good point with the farming use. So that is a little bit of a different twist there. So if somebody is using an ATV or a UTV as part of what they call an implement a hub sentry, basically easiest way to describe that is like a tractor hauling or towing a load, like you'd normally use a tractor. During that time frame when they're using it as an implement a hub sentry, and if it's registered as for ag use, then they can go down that state highway, as long as they are using it just for implement a hub sentry and not for recreation.
Well, piggybacking a bit off of Eric and David's questions, do you think Wisconsin trails have adequate signage for ATV, UTV trails and showing the routes and what riders can and can't do?
Signage is something that's up to your local municipality. There's state law that says, you know, how it's intended to be signed and, you know, where those signs need to be. Mm-hmm. But when it comes right down to it, that's the responsibility of that local municipality who's putting it up, the county, the township, the village, to make sure it's up to par. Generally speaking, they do meet the standards. But like one of the last callers said, there's times when it can be a little difficult to follow those.
We're talking
if you're new to an area.
We're talking with Nick Webster, who is DNR Recreation Warden covering the south central part of our state. We're discussing ATV trails, getting at your questions. Have you taken an ATV safety course recently to get licensed? What was it like? Do you live near an ATV trail? Do you mind ATVs riding through? Join in 800-642-1234. So, Nick, why are there so many more trails, miles of trails in the winter season?
We got some areas that are maybe sensitive trail base, and you don't want to get it tore up and rutted up, you know, in those summer months, or especially spring and fall when things are softer. And some of those trails are only open in the winter because you got a nice solid frozen base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be a bike trail that's okay with those lighter traffic of the bicycles. But then once the bicycles are not there and the ground is frozen, then they might open it up for ATVs or UTVs.
Okay.
It's just generally it's a trail. It can be related to the trail base.
What is the registration process like for ATVs? And does someone have to have their ATV registered?
Yep. You do have to have your ATV registered in Wisconsin. It's a 2-year registration, and it's $30. The easiest way to do that for the public registration is just to get on the DNR website. And if you just type in ATV into the search column, that's going to bring you right to pretty much everything you need to know for ATVs as far as registration, ATV safety classes, the rules and regulations, and it'll help you out quite a bit.
What do the safety classes entail, and who takes them?
So the safety classes are required for anybody that was born on or before January 1st of 1988. So, you know, you're getting people that are now into their 30s that do need to have a safety class to be able to operate an ATV on a public route or trail. And that's something that kind of surprises some people. But if you think about it, you know, we had to start somewhere with vehicles. You know, we all know that if you turn 16, you need to have a license on a car or a truck. And we're kind of going down that same route for ATVs and UTVs. It's just that we're kind of at the earlier stages of that,
mm-hmm.
and we're not to the point where everybody's used to it yet.
Let's bring in Brian now from Maguanago. Brian, hi. What would you like to ask?
My question is twofold. One, ATVs, six-wheeler, amphibious six-wheelers, my understanding is they are not allowed on any trails. But the bigger question is, do you know, can they be registered? Because my understanding is they can't because a UTV is 600 pounds and straddled.
Yeah, so those amphibious vehicles, so to be registered as a ATV, it needs to be, you know, 900 pounds or less. And it needs to have handlebars. So most of the amphibious vehicles that I've seen, and something may have changed, but have joysticks, almost like a skid
loader.
So that kind of takes them out of that picture. And plus, yeah, it doesn't have the seat that's designed to be straddled.
Okay. So they basically, there are registration issues, and they cannot be used on trails.
Correct.
Brian, thank you. Jim now from Madison. Hi, Jim. You want to ask about dirt trails?
Yes, I have small Woody's screw-in ice screws on my all four tires that I use when I'm out in the winter for ice fishing and stuff. And I'd like to do some trail riding, and I wonder, is it required that I take those little ice screws out for trail riding or on the dirt, or can I leave them in?
As far as the state's concerned, it's not illegal to keep them in. There may be local ordinances I would check in the area that you want to ride. Some places might be hesitant as to if that's going to cause issues with the roadways. Now, I would also be careful just that, you know, that added stress of running down the trail doesn't, you know, destroy your traction that you put in there.
Yeah. Jim, thank you. Do you find, Nick, that ice fishers use ATVs on the lake or to get to an ice shack?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, a lot use the ATVs and UTVs on a really consistent basis. They're nice and convenient. You can throw your stuff in the back or pull it behind. And, you know, for those areas that, you know, may have thinner ice, you know, they're quite a bit lighter than a vehicle.
Very quickly, you know, you've seen fatal accidents so many times. What is your top thing that you could relate to people about ATVs and UTVs?
I think the biggest thing that comes to the racks is consistently is the speed and intoxicated operation tend to be the leading factors in our fatals. We're starting to see a little bit of a rise in the use on the roads, and the way the machines are designed, they're just not designed to be on the roads as much, so that is becoming a factor as well.
Nick, thank you for joining us.
All right, thank you very much.
Nick Webster is a DNR Recreation Warden covering the South Central region. Ahead this hour, a troubling trend. New research reveals women are consuming more alcohol. We'll talk with a Harvard clinical psychologist. We'll be back after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.